Well, good morning, everybody. It's really good to be together in the presence of God. And one of the songs that we sang is that we've got this amazing grace and it's set us free. And if you're not living in the freedom of the grace of God, then you need to kind of get in there and let God do something in your heart and in your life. God's intention is that we live in this amazing freedom, this amazing place of His grace, where He gives us everything that we need, where He lives in us, where He supports us, where He changes us, where He works in our lives. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to give us this because it's a grace gift. We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us because of what His Son Jesus Christ achieved through His death and His resurrection. We have an amazing God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He lives in our lives, which is an amazing thing. It is awesome. So that's what we've been singing about this morning. I'm just going to share a few thoughts with you. Really carrying on from what I spoke about last week. Hands up if you were here last week. Oh, a few tentative hands going up there. What did I talk about? Can you remember? No. Well, that's honest, isn't it? So, no, I'm not going to. It was in the Bible. Can anybody remember? Well, so I'll preach the same sermon then. That's fine. It was one of the miracles of Jesus. It was one of Adrian would. Loaves and fishes. We've got there, the feeding of the 5,000. That's right. And it wasn't really about the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. It was more about the fact that in all of that, Jesus had a plan. He knew what He was going to do. And His challenge was to His disciples, because he almost like He would come up to them and go, what are you going to do? What's the answer here? We're in a difficult situation. How are we going to make it through? And all the time, what He was trying to do was stretch the disciples' faith. He was trying to show them by example that when we put our faith in God in impossible situations, He has a plan. And we talked around that topic. And I want to carry on really in a similar theme by looking at John 11. And this is just one of those stories that is just amazing and awesome and powerful. And it just does something in our heart because it shows the power of God, absolutely. So I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit because this is the story of Lazarus, who was a friend of Jesus, who died. And Jesus brought him back to life. The raising of Lazarus is one of the great stories in the Bible. And it's one of those situations where only God could do something because Lazarus was beyond anybody's help. He had died. And so we're going to look at that and how that applies to us today, really, because that's a great story, but what does it mean for us today? Because we need to know how God's power working in our lives actually transforms us. It makes a difference in our circumstances. So that's the tack we're going to take with this story. And so I've paraphrased it a little bit just to make it shorter. Otherwise, we'll be here for quite a lot longer. Right, let me get my glasses. One of the things you find as you get a little bit older, my font size has changed from 12. It's not got to 16 yet. I'll let you know when that happens. It's at 14 at the moment. But I still need to put my glasses on. Okay, this is John 11, 4 to 7, and then just follow it through with me. I think it's behind me. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you were always going to hear me, but I said this for my benefit, for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What an awesome story that is around the raising of Lazarus. So we see two things there. We see that Jesus was communicating with his Father and saying, I want you to reveal who you are through me, because Jesus was the embodiment of God in human form. And we see that as we read through the New Testament stories. And as he spent time on earth, he displayed the kingdom of heaven. He displayed the glory of God. He displayed the power of God. And that was his mission, was to reveal all of this to the Jews so that they could understand God in a new way. He did this through word, because his preaching, they used to say, they were saying, we've never heard this before. We've never heard anybody speak like this before. He speaks with an authority. He speaks like somebody who knows what he's talking about. He speaks almost like it's the voice of God. And so when he talked to people, he demonstrated the kingdom of God. And he did this through deed. And there is such a situation that we reach an impossible scenario where Lazarus is dead, and we need something miraculous from God to make a difference. And last week, I already said that Jesus already knew what he was going to do when he arrived at the situation. And here we have this impossible situation, and God was going to reveal his supernatural power over the principle of human thinking and build faith into the lives of the disciples. Jesus was always about building faith. He was always about revealing who God was to those around him. And here was a situation where God could really sort of show who he was and build up their faith. Mary and Martha said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, Lazarus would still be alive. In other words, if you'd have been here before he died, we've seen you heal the sick before, he wouldn't be dead now. And that was quite a statement, wasn't it? Their faith took them so far. It took them to understanding the miraculous power of God over sickness. And they were talking to him and said, you know, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But we have to understand that Jesus' plan, his purpose, what he was going to do was far greater than just healing somebody from a sickness. And here we have the worst case scenario. Somebody had actually passed away, and he was going to display the greatness of God. John 11:4, which we've read already, says this. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. And then later on in the chapter, he says, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him. So Jesus knew that if he had been there, because, you know, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And that was a deep love. He loved spending time with them. He had an affection for them. They were very close to his heart. And if you read in that chapter in John, it says that Jesus actually wept. He wept when Lazarus had died, because he was so close to him in the relationship that they had. But Jesus didn't go there because he knew that if he was there, he would have healed him. But he stayed away with his disciples because he wanted to demonstrate the power of God in a greater way than they'd ever imagined. And he says, it's for your sake that I'm not going to do this, because I want you to see the magnificence, the kingship, the glory, the power of God in this situation. Now let's go to him, because Jesus knew that he was already dead. A miracle is only needed when there's no other earthly solution. We call them miracles, don't we, when something that we think is impossible suddenly becomes possible. We call that miraculous. And we sometimes see that in our natural state, things happen and we go, well, I don't know how that's happened, it's a miracle. But when God is involved, it is miraculous. Because we have a situation where there is no answer, where there is no solution, where we can't work it out, and we need the power of God to break into it to actually perform a miracle, to overcome the nature that we live in. So here we have Jesus going, once Lazarus had died, he went to the family and he began to talk to them about what he was going to do. And it was a spectacular event. I would imagine it was spectacular in that community, and he did actually transform that community. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead, but Jesus did it publicly. He did it in faith, and I'm sure those around would know who Jesus was, and wherever he went, there was always crowds around expecting something miraculous to happen. And so I would imagine that at the scene, at the tomb of Lazarus, there will be more than one or two people. There will be many, many people from that community. And it says that indeed in John 12. It says, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also but also to see Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So there was a large crowd always gathered where Jesus was. And in this circumstance, Lazarus was there also. He'd been raised from the dead, but the Jews wanted to kill him again because he was a demonstration of the power of God. And it says, on his account, many of the Jews began to come to faith in Christ. It was a powerful demonstration of who God was. It wasn't just about raising Lazarus from the dead so everybody felt better or a situation was eased. It was about demonstrating who God was. And there are many stories in the Bible where the power of God is demonstrated, not just to alleviate an issue, but to demonstrate who God was. If we go back a chapter in John or two to John chapter 9, this is the healing of a blind man. He's a man born blind from birth, was healed. And this is what Jesus said. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The Jews had a link between sinning and illness. And I want to tell you now, that does not exist. We're living in a time of grace. And at one time, if you were ill, people thought you'd been sinful. And that's why Jesus often talks about your sin is forgiven. Because he wanted people to understand that it wasn't sin that brought illness. He set them free from that. And so the question was, why is this boy blind? Why is he blind? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? And he said, no, it's nothing to do with sin. But in this situation, we're going to display the power and the might of God. The man was well known in his neighborhood. And if you follow the story, he went to the temple and he began to worship God. And people saying, who is it? He said, well, it looks like that man that was blind, but it can't be him because he's seeing. And there was a lot of discussion around what's happened. And eventually he said, look, I've been healed. This man came. It's the story where, you know, where Jesus spat on the ground and put clay on the eyes and told him to go and wash them. So he never saw Jesus because he was healed as he washed his eyes, and Jesus was not there at that point. He said, I just know I was blind, but now I can see. I don't know how it's happened, but it is a demonstration of the power of God. And so Jesus, when he performed miracles, did it to also demonstrate who God was, how he's interested in us individually. He's interested in what we're going through. And some of the things that we are going through might just be to demonstrate the power of God in our lives to those with whom we are sharing life. And that's what it means, really. There may be something in your life that's always been there, or a new situation that seems impossible to resolve, something that needs a miracle. And we can sometimes question ourselves as to why is this happening to me? And sometimes we can go, have I done something wrong and God's allowing it? And we can go through those thought processes. But we just need God to do something in our lives. Our difficult situations are personal, but they give God an opportunity to display his greatness in our lives to those who we share our life with, who know what's going on and know when God has moved that it's him that has made the difference. It's a powerful testimony to the working of God in our lives. Life would be great without any problems, wouldn't it? Apparently not. It would. I don't know whether you ever sit down and think, what would it be like to have no problems? But we have them. It's part of life, as we say. You who have had children and they're growing up, it's just part of life that you're going to face issues, that you're going to face problems, that you've got to learn how to resolve. Some of the problems we face are very difficult and we struggle to work out how they're going to be resolved. But by the grace of God, when we include him, he can bring miraculous solutions, miraculous answers to our needs. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. That's good to know, isn't it? The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So the troubles that we face in life can be comforted by the compassion of God. Sometimes we forget that, but we just need to include him in what we're going through and allow him to comfort us in our spirit, in our heart, and know his presence, and to know that whatever we are going through, he is with us, and it brings comfort to our heart. It brings peace to our spirit. And we see here that the comfort with which God comforts us is like a transferable asset. As we are going through situations and God comforts us, we're in touch with other people who are going through situations or troubles. And because God has comforted us, it's something that we can share with those around us. We can share God's comfort to those who are going through troubling situations. Many years ago, I read a book, and it said, it was called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. Don't waste them. In other words, our sorrows, our troubles, our circumstances can be a great opportunity for God to break in and bring something new to our lives rather than just being a troubling experience. Well, sometimes we keep our troubles to ourselves because we think God isn't interested in that. God can't do anything in this situation, or I've put myself in this situation. I've brought this trouble upon myself, and we don't share it with God. And here we see through the stories that we've covered that God knows what he's going to do in each situation. He has a plan. He has an answer. And sometimes it may be miraculous because we can't see what the answer is. But he uses us to display his wisdom on the earth to those around us. So if you're going through something at the moment, a trouble, whatever that might be, just change your thinking by faith. Allow God to just change the way you're thinking about it and see it as an opportunity for God to do something miraculous in your life. If we never had any troubles, God sometimes wouldn't be able to display his greatness, his kingship, his grace, his power in our lives. But we've got to learn by faith how to include him. It says, doesn't it, in John 12:11, I've read it before, that on the account of him, that is, on the account of Lazarus and what had happened to him, the fact that he'd been raised from the dead, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. We're called to display God's greatness in our lives. We're called to witness to those in our community. And we can do this by allowing God to help us in our troubles so that they demonstrate the greatness and the power of God. So maybe for us, we have to reassess our troubles, whatever they may be, because they could be a means of God displaying his power in you and you bearing witness to the reality of God to those with whom you live and in our community. God is a great God. And sometimes we don't understand the things that happen in our lives, but we've got to trust that God has a plan. God has an answer. God knows what he's doing. And just put our trust in him. Allow him to comfort us in our troubles and bring a miraculous, just that miraculous into our lives that just breaks in and brings something of him and demonstrates who he is to those around us. Amen. That's me done. Reassess what you're going through. Is it an opportunity for God to do something? Sometimes we don't think like that. We just want it out the way. We want our troubles to be over. Well, let's use them as a means for God to speak into our hearts and lives. Thank you.